If you could then find our text for today, it will be Genesis 22 again. I want to read it to make sure we got the context, and then spend a few minutes developing the second half of what I believe the truths are in this chapter. Genesis 22, so could you turn there, and if you're able to stand, would you do that while I read this chapter aloud? Beginning at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. Verse 7. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. Verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." Mm-hmm. As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Amen. Amen. Our Father, as we bow together now, we just ask you to lead us in the Scriptures. Help us to see clearly, succinctly what you are saying to us. Help us to grasp it and make right application in our lives. And then, Father, grant us the grace to obey this word according to your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. All right, let's just make a little continuity here between what we talked about last week and today. Last week, we talked about the first 9 verses. And you remember the subject is God will provide the land. And in verses 1 and 2, we saw that God tested Abraham with specific demands. He made a specific demand that Abraham offer his highest, offer his best, right? That he withhold nothing. God requires your best when it comes to worshiping Him, and this has to do with the things that are devoted to Him in love, right? It's always God is always after anything that competes with Him in love, right? It's always, because the first and great commandment is what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so he requested it of Abraham. Then he tested Abraham by requiring that he go on a journey before he could actually make this sacrifice, right? You know how it is oftentimes when you're waiting. You know, once we've made up our mind, we want to get on with it. But God wants us to know that we have to wait on Him. You have to be patient, right? Let Him work it out. And so God tested Abraham with a specific journey, and he obeyed him in verses 3 and 4. Then we saw that believers are responsible for the practical aspects of worship. They are practical things that we have to do when it comes to worship. Okay, God expects us to do that which is practical. Those things around us, you know, God isn't going to just drop chairs out of the sky and those kind of things. He expects us to bring that which is practical to worship, right? Including ourselves and for us to be prepared, right? But then God always provides that which is essential.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw that in verse 7 and 8, right? The lamb, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb. We're taking the fire and the wood and our willingness and our preparedness. God must provide that which is essential. All right?
Amen.
So that's where we were last week. And then we want to try to finish up today with these two thoughts. We're going to look at what I call the initial act of worship in verses 9 through 12, and then the final act of worship in verses 13 through 19. Keeping in mind that we are, the backdrop to all of this is Father's Day here in the U.S. of A., right? And so it's just wonderful to look at this relationship between this father and this son. And in this case, this father and his only son. And obviously the love and the affection. Typically in the Bible, when we talk about love, many of us feel that agape is the really the only way we can really talk about love. But actually the Bible says that God phileo Jesus. Likewise, did you know that? Yes. It wasn't just the sacrificial love of that high devotion and quality. God had a real relationship with Jesus. There was phileo. There was a relationship. Right? That's phileo. Did you see this real phileo relationship? Now that doesn't mean that Abraham and Isaac were buddies. Unfortunately, you see that happening between fathers and sons that day. That's not what God isn't calling a father to be your son's buddy or your child's buddy. Right? You can have real relationships, a real parental relationship without them thinking that you're their buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You're still their parents, and they're still, right?
Amen.
And they can still trust you and talk to you. We want that, right, as parents. We want our children to be able to talk to us about anything, but I'm not your buddy.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Right? There's real relationship. Real. You got it? And so we see that between Abraham and his son. And let's look at this initial act of worship. The first thing then is the sacrifice of Isaac. Let's go back to, and we're picking up today at verse 9, right? We looked at 1 through 8 last week. We're picking up at verse 9. You got verse 9? Genesis 22 and verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told them. And so the whole idea here is that this place God has selected, right? God has selected. Now, it's just a piece of geography. It was just a mountain among other mountains. The difference was God chose it, right? It's just like Moses. Y'all remember Moses was, after having fled Egypt, was out there shepherding sheep for 40 years. And he's just out there doing his job one day, and lo and behold, the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in what? Like a burning bush. And Abraham turned to observe it, and he says, Abraham, take off his shoes. This is what?
Holy ground.
What made it holy?
The Lord.
It was just a bush and a piece of ground before that. But when God designates something as holy, it's what?
It's holy.
So this place is special and holy because God sits. Got it? And my brother, my sister, that's the way it is with us. That's the reason we need to treasure things that we know God has given us. It's from Him. It's a holy gift. It may look trivial to everybody else, but it ought to be special to you. Amen?
Amen.
God gave it to you.
Yeah.
So God made this mountain holy. And then you see that this act of worship, once Abraham gets there, it's going to require that he do something, right? Mm-hmm. There's some preparation that needs to be done once he gets to this holy place. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This is amazing.
Yes. Yes,
we don't find Isaac calling, resisting. This is fun. This, we just talked to the children about complete trust.
Yes.
This is complete trust.
Yes.
Father to son. Yes. Father, this makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I already asked you, where's the lamb?
Uh-huh.
Now here you are tying me up.
Right.
You still haven't answered my question.
Uh-huh.
You don't find Isaac asking him another question. If my father said God will provide, what? I trust my father. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. Now, this is a teenager. This is an inquisitive teenager. Right? But when my father said something, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful relationship here.
Amen.
And so, there you see him making these final preparations at the place of worship. And then you finally see there in verse 10, what I say is that this act of worship from Abraham is going to require that he give everything. He can withhold. God is asking that from him, that which is dearest.
Yeah.
Up to this point, he's made up his mind to do it. Now it's time to do it.
Yeah.
You see, there's a difference, right? You can have your mind made up, but you sometimes remember how the Bible says, why halt you? Why are you standing between two positions or two opinions here? If you've got your mind made up, you've got to be willing to go through with it.
Yeah.
Right? This is what you see happening here. That's the reason Abraham is called the man of faith. He didn't get here and hesitate. It's time now for him to surrender his will to the will of God.
Yeah.
I love my son. Right? God already said that. I want you to offer the son whom you love, your only son whom you love. Right? Abraham has worked through that. Sarah has worked through that. And they have said amen to God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you see verse 10, that Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. This is a done deal.
Yeah. Yes,
God wants him. How did Job say it? The Lord what?
Gives.
The Lord gives and what?
The Lord takes away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he's already said, you read the book of Hebrews, it says Abraham was going to do this because he was convinced that God could raise him from the dead. It never been happened. He never seen resurrection before. But if God tells me to tell him, and God tells me from this son, there's going to be nations blessed, he must go and raise him from the dead. I have not seen it, but Abraham said, I walk by what?
Faith!
Not by sight. I've never seen a resurrection.
Yeah.
But if God says, do this, that's the reason the Bible says he's the model. He didn't have a New Testament. Matter of fact, he didn't have a Bible at all. There was no Old Testament written. To whom much is given, but you and I know a whole lot more than him. The problem is that we don't know God as well. There's a difference. We know a whole lot more about him. We don't know him.
Amen.
You with me, Father?
Yes,
amen.
Men? All right. So this is the sacrifice of Isaac. And let's look at God's response. And every time I read this, it's just wonderful.
Amen.
Because this verse emphatically says God responded from heaven. You see that in verse 11? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, right? From heaven. God is there and he's here. He's up. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent.
There is nowhere that God is not. Right? He's everywhere. And so God clearly knows our heart from heaven, just as if he was sitting right next to him. He knows our heart. And he sees everything. You remember the psalmist talked about that in 139. You have searched me and known me. You know my what rising up and my lying down. You're intimately acquainted with all my words. Before there's a word on my tongue, Lord, you know it all. You've hemmed me in before and back. And he says, this knowledge is what? Too wonderful for me. If I say I'll take the wing, fly away like a dove to the remotest parts of the sea. You're there.
Yeah.
I say I'll make my bed in Sheol. Behold, there. Too wonderful. There is nowhere that God is not. And so look at that. God responds because God told Abraham to go to the mountain. He's there just like he was back at he and Sarah's home. Right? He's here just like he is over in India.
Yeah.
Or any place else in the world. He's here just like he is in every other church that's open in his name. He's here.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that good?
Amen.
He's here. And he's speaking.
Yes.
God clearly knows. And then that's what I want you to see is that God clearly speaks to us personally. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. As he speaks, he says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah.
God speaks personally. And what God then does is he reveals his will. I want to say something to you. Many of us say we want to know God's will, but we haven't obeyed what we already know.
Right.
We want him to show us more, but we haven't done what we already know.
Yes.
And so many of us think that life is not going to always be like the Red Sea. You remember the Red Sea, right? God brought Israel out of bondage, and they got hemmed up there between the Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, right? You go back, a Pharaoh kills you. You go out in the sea, and you get killed. So they're caught there in between. What does God do? Moses tell them to be still.
Yeah.
Stand still and watch the salvation of God.
Yeah.
So God, while they're on dry land, opens up the sea, and they see how to walk through.
Yeah.
But now they come to the Jordan, and they expect the same thing. No, no. When it comes to the Jordan, God says, you go out and get in it.
Yeah.
You can't stand on the bank and wait for me to do it. You got to trust me by getting in the Jordan. And then once they got in the Jordan, he opened it up.
Yeah.
You can't predict God.
Amen.
You just do what he says, right?
Yeah.
Once you do what he says, then he reveals his purpose. That's what you got here. You see that? Look at verse 12. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy. Or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. See, now Abraham realized in his heart, Isaac was as good as dead.
Yeah.
And God knew it. There was no hesitation.
Yeah.
So God said, now, that's enough. Now let me tell you what I'm really doing here. Abraham. You see, you got to step into Jordan before you see what I'm really doing.
Right.
Many of us want to see before we step in.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And God says, you got to trust me.
Right.
Trust me.
Say it now.
It looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're going to have to go through something so miserable, you don't even want to think about it. But God says, you got to trust me. Even if you walk what, through the valley or the shadow of death, what? I'm with you.
Amen.
I will never leave you, never desert you, never forsake you. And those of us who walk with him for a while, you know that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that's true.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people who know what I'm saying is right. For those of you who don't, trust the Lord.
Amen.
This is not a fairy tale here. This is true.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
Amen.
God responded to this man's act of faith by helping him to see more.
Mm.
We want to see more without any sacrifice.
Mm.
I already know enough,
yeah.
But I want to know
more. Because if I know more, then I'll obey. Do what you already know.
Yeah.
Then I'll show you.
Yeah.
This good?
Amen.
Yeah. Even when it makes no sense. Yeah. Because I'm not asking you to trust yourself. Right?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord, but with all your heart and don't lean to your understanding. But we we like to flip that around. I want to understand it, then I'll trust you.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Isn't it good?
Amen.
Yes. These things are written for our learning. Godly faith is always validated with godly action. Okay? That's what we see here. Abraham was a man of faith, not just a man who taught faith. Isn't that the way James says it? Faith, what? Without works is dead. Right? It's empty talk. In other words, it sounds good, but it's just air. And so Abraham says that the way you prove that it's real is put some action behind it. Well, God says it. I mean, Abraham, you know, Abraham demonstrated that. As a matter of fact, James 2, you read a little further, and he said that's exactly what Abraham was doing. He was proving his faith by his works as he offered up his son.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham didn't go brag to anybody about how he trusted God. His actions were. His actions speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, my sister, you don't have to wear the big cross.
Right.
I'm not criticizing anybody that does, but I'm just saying, that's not the proof that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did not have one cross on him.
Mm-hmm.
But he hung on one.
Mm-hmm.
That was proof.
Yeah.
See the difference? It wasn't around his neck. It was attached to him. Now he's not asking any, and the East, you see people still doing that. He's not asking any of us to go be hung on a cross. No, he says, take up your cross. I mean, take up what he's assigned you to do. Do that. Do that well.
Amen.
Represent him well on the job, in the neighborhood. But stand there when you're being persecuted. When you're being slandered, right? He said, blessed are you when people say all manner of evil for you on my account.
Yeah.
Great is your rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward. So, my brother, my sister, I believe this is the lesson for us to learn here, is that our faith is validated with our sacrificial giving of your time, give of your money. That's how you prove your faith. You don't have to brag. Give up your skill, your talent. Where did they come from? They came from God. And when he asked you to sacrifice them, I know you. All of us love our time, and we cherish. You know, we cherish our time. We all have constraints. But God said, I want you to sacrifice that.
Right.
You wake up in the morning with your plan, but God said, the mind of man plans his way. What? But the Lord directs his what steps. And so we got to be willing to sacrifice our schedules when God calls us to do something, right?
Amen.
We got to be willing to sacrifice our possessions. And,
right.
So God affirms and encourages us when we obey Him in faith. And so right here, I believe that what we see is unconditional obedience from the believer is essential to better understand God's will and purposes in life. You're not going to understand God's will for your life if you're not going to obey Him. It ain't going to happen. God is not just going to continue to dump information into your life when you're not going to do anything with it. He's a good father. Right? Jesus said, there are many things I'd like to show you, but what? You're not ready for it. But Billy read the passage this morning. He sent the 70 out on a little mission before he told them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They came back from that little mission and he had to even correct them about what? That little mission. That's life for us. The more we obey, the more God can entrust us to understand.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
He's a good Father.
Yes,
He's a good Father. Yes. And then finally, we want to look at them. That was the initial act of worship. Then the final act of worship we see in verses 13 through 19. We saw the sacrifice of Isaac in the initial act of worship. Now we see the sacrifice of the ram. You got verse 13? Look how God reveals His provision for worship as a believer obeys Him in worship. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether the ram was there before or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to make any conjecture. Whether God hid it from him, or we don't need to know it. All we need to know is, after he obeyed him, God showed him what he had provided. Isn't that good?
Amen.
But you're not going to see it if you don't obey it. Right? So now we see God making more revelation about his provision once Abraham has provided. Now, you notice that God expects, what I say is that he expects the believer to use the provisions that he provides. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. He didn't sit there and just rejoice and praise the Lord all day. He realized, I came here to what? To worship.
Yeah.
And God has shown me what he wants me to use for worship. Don't go and take this home with you. God gave you that to spend it all here. God gave me a good night's rest, not for me to save it up to go back home and use the energy to cut the grass and other things. He gave me this energy to use it up what? Today! Right now!
Amen.
Yeah.
He gave me this voice, not to save it for the big game.
Amen.
He gave me this voice to raise it for him right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the big game. There may be nothing to cheer about.
Amen.
But I got something to praise about right now. This is what he gave me. Use this what? Now. So Abraham recognized, God has given this ram. I'm going to use it right here, right now.
Amen.
Is this good?
Amen.
Realizing that God has made provisions for me to use in worship. And then finally you realize, Abraham knew who's the thing. He knew he didn't bring that ram. He didn't know anything about the ram. From Abraham's perspective, I was supposed to kill my son. And you and I have seen that. I mean, right today, they got all of these awful weather forecasts. I say awful. There's some dangerous weather forecasts out. We've had it before. And we've seen God say, I know that's what they said, but this is what I said.
Amen.
You still go and worship and let me handle the weather. That is my purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
He just did it for us last weekend, didn't
he? Yeah.
I'm sure people thought, those are some foolish Christians. Haven't they heard the weather forecast?
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people that I invited, I told them, I said, well, I don't know what the weather's going to be. We may get rained out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them came anyway. And I'm not criticizing those that did not. I'm simply saying, when you obey God, you have to leave the results with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, God expects us to use these provisions, and then you know who deserves the praise, right? And so, you see verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it is provided. Isn't that wonderful? He knows that God gave me this provision. God alone is the one that's worthy. Remember how James said that every what? Good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. John in the book of Revelation says, oh Lord, he praises God. He says, worthy art thou, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? Because you have created all things, and because of your will they existed. and we're created. Why? How did the lamb get there? God made it. How did Abraham get there? He created him. How did Isaac get there? He knows that Isaac is a miracle. It was impossible for them to have a child naturally. But God said, things impossible for men are what? Are possible for God. And so, in this situation, Abraham knows God is worthy. And so he can sit there and say, this place shall be called the Lord will provide.
Amen.
He did it. Everything here good, God provides. And my brother, my sister, right here at Trinity Community Church this morning, I can say that emphatically.
Amen.
Everything right here, right now, of any good, God provides.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Liberating. Every good gift, every perfect gift that's come from Him, that's the reason we come here to what? Worship Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. That's true liberty and true freedom, regardless of what others say. And then finally, you see God's response to this sacrifice of worship. You notice, here's the way I word it. God continues to reveal His faithfulness as the believer obeys Him in faith without doubt. Let me read that again, because this is a sentence that I wrote to try to summarize these three verses. God continues to reveal His faithfulness as the believer obeys Him in faith without doubting. You see what I'm saying there? God, as we obey, God is going to meet us, and He'll continue to speak to us, okay? He's looking for, you remember the scripture says, obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. And so that's the whole idea. As you obey, God will give you more. He'll help you understand more. And in this particular case, you look at how it reads. Let me look at verse. You got verse 15? Look at verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Look at this.
Yeah.
Because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, because of this, now look at what he says I'm going to do. I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, look at that, he ends it. Because you have obeyed my voice. My brother, my sister, never, never, never minimize obedience. Leave the result to God. God said, I bless you because you obey. I bless you because you obey. I don't bless you because you claim something. Because you named it and claimed it, you didn't get blessed. You blessed it because you obey. Isn't that good? Because it's all of grace. Even when I obey God, it's what? It's grace.
Yeah.
I got nothing to boast about.
Yeah.
Not a one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Any progress that any of us have made in the kingdom of God is by what? Grace.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
But thank God for grace.
Yeah.
Yes, thank God that He gives more as we need more.
Yeah.
Obedience is essential for God's future blessing. And Trinity, I'm saying to you right now, I believe that we need to embrace this. If we want God to continue to reveal His future for us and to bless us, we've got to continue to obey Him regardless of what's going on.
Amen.
Regardless of what people are saying to us or about us, regardless of who responds positively or negatively, we have got to obey God as a church. Because He alone knows the mission that He has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And He never said that any one of us was going to build our church.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Jesus said, I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
And us, I'm just thankful we're a part of that church He built. We're going to submit ourselves and what? Let Him build it.
Amen.
He does a good job. You believe that?
Yeah.
Abraham can tell you, God does a good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I love the way this all is. This is wonderful. God's faithfulness and encouragement motivates the believer to continue to live by faith. Look at how this is. You got verse 19? This is where we're going. Verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived in Beersheba. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's like you watch a movie that says, and they did what? Happily ever. I mean, all the drama that was there, building up to it, you feel the drama, the tension dripping from this thing. So I didn't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, see, you and I know the end of the story.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Abraham didn't know the end of the story. So all of this drama and tension, and then when God showed them what's really going to happen, it says they went home. They went home and everything was fine. They went home and lived. And he continued. Don't you think that brother's motivated to live by faith now?
Yeah.
The more we obey, the more he encourages us to obey. And so I'm saying to you that God rewards sacrificial acts of worship with encouragement to live by faith. Now, I want to wrap up with these few thoughts. This loving relationship between Father Abraham and his only son. You remember this? It reflects the loving relationship between our Heavenly Father and what? And his only son, Jesus. This Abraham was willing to give up his only son to death, just as our Heavenly Father was willing to give up what? His only son to death. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Abraham, and so you see this picture, right? These types and these shadows. Abraham was willing to give up his only son as a father. Our Heavenly Father was willing to give up his only son. But here's something that you might have missed. I don't think you did, but I just need to remind you. Don't forget the fact that Isaac was willing to die.
Amen.
Right? The son here was willing to die because the father said so. Right? He didn't question him.
Mm-hmm.
His desire was to please his father. Is that what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
My desire is to please my father. No greater love has anyone than this, than what? A man lay down his life, what? For his friends. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it willingly. For us. Right? And that's not a type and a shadow. That's the real deal. All of these stories were leading up to prepare generations of people for the time that the real Lamb was there. And he wouldn't come off the altar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know that song, he would not come down.
Yes.
I'm so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Not you?
Yes.
That he would not, that he did not come down. He hung. He bled.
Mm-hmm.
He died.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it willingly.
Thank you, Lord.
So, as we conclude then, I want you to meditate on just a few things. What can we learn from this episode with Abraham on this Father's Day in the United States of America? I believe we can learn a few lessons. Abraham completely trusted his father in heaven, and Isaac completely trusted his father on earth. You see that? Abraham was obedient to his father in heaven, and Isaac was obedient to his father on earth. The same should be true of fathers here at TCC with our children, regardless of their age. Our children should see their fathers obedient to our Father in heaven so that they'll have a pattern to be obedient to us. Godly faith, godly character, and godly courage that is passed on from a father to a child has the potential to impact many other people in future generations. You remember what he told Abraham? Because of your son, many nations are going to be blessed. Right? Abraham did not know what this simple act of obedience meant. You and I don't know, when we obey God, what's going to be the future result of that. But trust me, when you positively, when you impact a child's life
positively, God, in a godly way, you understand what I'm saying? God then can take that and use it. You don't know how he's going to use it. I was saved at age 28, and I can assure you I was influenced by many Sunday school teachers and many others who walked upright before me. I can assure you that their labors were not in vain. Some planted, some watered, but God gave the increase. You don't know what your work in a child's life is going to mean in the future. Just be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful. Right? Be faithful. The father must learn that his words and his actions must be consistent as a model for a child. Child needs to see us say what we mean and what? Mean what we say. Don't tell a child, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. Don't sit there and tell a child, don't smoke, because it's bad for you. And what? And I'm smoking. Mm-hmm. Or don't do this thing or that thing. God says, model that godly life. Mm-hmm. Right? Be an example of it. I'm not picking on any particular unhealthy habit, you understand? I'm just using an example. I'm just simply saying that as godly men, God says you live out before that child what you want them to, how you want them to live. Right? If you're not willing to sacrifice that, why are you expecting them to? Right? If you won't deny yourself, why are you requiring that they deny themselves? Jesus said that a student, a disciple, is not higher than the teacher. Jesus didn't require any more of us what? Than he was willing to do himself. So he says to us, it's fine. You see, this kind of leadership is not talked about often in the home. Lead by example. Lead by sacrifice. Lead by humility. That son was willing to follow that father because he saw that character in it. See, Abraham had been broken. And here's a blessing. You know, I'm thankful that Philip and Dan never saw me as an unbeliever. That was by the grace of God. I mean, he could have handled it if they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to recover from that.
Yeah.
But it's fact that it was there. It's real. And so now that God has covered that, I can't, that was in the past. I'm forgetting what lies behind and what, moving forward to what lies ahead. I want to model for them how to live now, not how I used to. I want to caution them about how I used to live, but model how to live now. Right? And so this is what you see here with this father and this son. Isaac is seeing the benefit of God having broken this man. You and I got to see it before Isaac was born. Right? See, God deal with his fear and his doubting. And God just worked that out in a wonderful, wonderful way. Abraham was an imperfect father with many failures. But he learned to trust God in faith unconditionally. The same should be and can be true of fathers here today. By the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, the consistent prayer and intercession of Jesus in heaven, by the word of God to guide us, the grace of God to help us, and the people of God to encourage us, we can become men who obey God unconditionally. You believe that? Men who trust God unreservedly, men who surrender to God absolutely, and men who live a life of faith daily. I pray that this may be true for every man, young or old, here at TCC. Every man under the sound of my voice. And not for men only, because the New Testament says that Abraham is the father of us all. Abraham models faith not just for men, but for women. Not just for older men, but for younger men. Not just for older women, but for younger women. He is the father of us all. We all can learn from him today.
everyone under the sound of my voice can and should learn to live a life of faith like Father Abraham. And if you're not a Christian today, and if you're asking, but Isaac, where is the Lamb? I got good news for you. The Lamb has already come. He's already been offered. He's already been sacrificed. The Lamb has already died for you. He's already died for your sin. He's already died to set you free. And all that you need to do is to believe. And so by the grace of God, if you don't know Christ, if you're not a Christian, if you have not been converted, if you don't know what true repentance is, you can know it today. If you don't know what it means to be set free, if you don't know what it means to have eternal life and have eternal joy, you can have that today. And I pray by the grace of God, when we bow to pray, you will simply be still and listen to the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for the great grace that has been given to each one of us in life, and particularly today, to be here, to be in the midst of your people. Thank you for preserving this word for us and teaching us from this life of this brother that lived so many generations ago. May it be true that we individually and collectively would learn to live a life of faith, unconditionally in love for Christ. May it be so that we would withhold nothing when it comes to our service to you. May it be so that you would grant us grace as we are conformed more and more into the image of Christ. And may it be so that today, Lord, by your Spirit, you would reach the heart of someone who does not know your Son personally. May it be so today that someone will be able to see in this example the Christ who died in their place. The Christ who died instead of them. May it be so that you would bring them to yourself as your own child. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Let's bow together for us.